Well, good morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. We didn't deliver a message last week because I'm really struggling with the truth of this message. The reality of this message. Now, thegodschool.com is available on the internet. It's available worldwide. Perhaps this message might be played on shortwave radio. It's available like the gospel to everyone, and we're teaching out of this book of Galatians it's Paul's pushback against those who have perverted the gospel. It's a pushback against those who would make void the word of God by their traditions. I'm going to continue to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as the word of God proclaims it. There is today great conflict, seemingly, in this country by those who would attempt to subvert the founding of these United States by somehow suggesting that the founding fathers and other leaders in this country were imperfect, and therefore, whatever they were able to create, that is, the Constitution of the United States, is also imperfect, that these men were imperfect, therefore let's throw them out so that we might be able to throw out what they created. I tell you from exposure to the history of these men that perhaps the greatest meeting of men under the influence of God's word were these men who formed and wrote the Constitution of the United States of America. Under the influence of God and His Word. Don, are you saying that first council of the church at Jerusalem, found in Acts 15, are you saying that these great councils of the church, one of which was the Council of Carthage, which gave us the canonization of the Word of God, that those men in that period of the formation of the United States of America, that they were more influenced by the Word of God than the councils that have been held throughout the centuries in the church, that Continental Congress and those that produced, or those through whom was produced the Constitution of the United States, were more greatly influenced by the Word of God than all these religious gatherings? Yes, I am. For a couple of weeks, after seeing the chaos created, and this chaos was just looking for an excuse, it wasn't caused by any one incident, that this chaos that we've been seeing in parts of the United States, in many cities, it has come about for one reason, that it might destroy the Constitution of the United States. I've been hearing for a couple of weeks, someone has to push back. I've been saying for years, having been exposed to the truth of the gospel, that someone has to push back against the traditions of men which make void the Word of God. Paul did it in this letter to the Galatians. I was reading today about the Archbishop of Canterbury, that high and lofty position of men, where, you know, the controversy was, and I'm paraphrasing, so please excuse me for this overview. But, you know, the question becomes, should we remove statues of white Jesus? And this fool comes out and says, well, in this part of the world, Jesus is black. In that part of the world, Jesus is yellow. In this part of the world, Jesus is brown. And, you know, who are we to say? The Word of God declares who Jesus Christ was, that He was the Son of God, that He took upon Himself flesh and blood and became kin with us. It doesn't talk about a color, but the whole Word of God records the line to which Jesus is born, His kinship with us was not random. God said, Paul says it in this letter, that in chapter 3, verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. There are multitude promises of God talking about this incarnation where God the Son of God the one who had the essence of God, the same as God, who made of himself no reputation and took upon himself flesh and blood. It is Jesus Christ. And this fool, the Archbishop of Canterbury, he teaches the traditions of men. He gives in to the mob. Paul says, pulling one example out in this second chapter of Galatians. He says, and I'm going to read from Phillips' New Testament translation, the fourth verse. It says, in fact, the suggestion would never have arisen but for the presence of some pseudo-Christians who wormed their way into our meeting to spy out the liberty which we enjoy in Christ Jesus, and then attempted to tie us up with rules and regulations I think Phillips has a great sense of humor when he translates the fifth verse, because the example Paul is using, and it's just an example of bringing into subjection, it's circumcision. And Phillips translates and says, we did not give those men an inch. I hope you get the humor. For the truth of the gospel for you and all Gentiles was at stake. Now he adds Gentiles. Paul says that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. What is that gospel? It is the grace, unmerited favor. Something I didn't deserve and something you didn't deserve. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father. That is cessation of againstness. God is that which caused God to be against us was sin. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. That's the reality. That's the truth. Not just sins past, not just sins present, but also sins that will continue as long as we walk in shoe leather or whatever other apparatus might be on your feet. I'm talking about the body of this flesh. Who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. According to the will of God and our Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Don, you sound like you're really upset. Well, yes, I am. Like Paul was upset, not only for that particular people called the Church of Galatia, but that particular people called the Church of God. It is a people, all the people who belong to the Lord, who are part and parcel of the body of Christ, who before the foundations of the world were chosen by God for his own sake in Christ Jesus our Lord. We didn't get in because we deserved it. We didn't get in because somehow we heard of God's great grace, and now we are attempting to perform in the flesh that work that God is doing in us by his Spirit, that which he promised through faith. And as Paul says in the Ephesian letter, even that faith is a gift of God. And we spoke last time about the indwelling of the Spirit in that imperfect body of flesh called Peter, who the Holy Spirit came upon and he preached on the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 were born into the church. And yet, as we said, we encounter him later in times expressing other than the Spirit of God through his flesh. He argues with God. He has to be blamed by Paul because he was blameworthy. Suggesting that, as Paul asks in this third chapter, "This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit of, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Have you read? Have you not seen? Have you not understood what God in Christ Jesus has done for you?" He says, "Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made complete or perfect by the flesh?" There is And I'm going to say this because I believe it. Comparatively speaking, there is a small revolution going on in this country. Which would somehow suggest that the founding fathers and other leaders in this country were less than perfect. You know, you remember in the Gospels when that woman who was caught in adultery, and the literal is she was caught in the very act of adultery, and was brought before Jesus, and the crowd wanted to stone her, and Jesus' response said, "Let him who is among you, that's perfect, that is without sin, cast the first stone." You know, at least at that moment, those hypocrites got the truth. And they walked away. Today, we have a gang, and I'm not political, but God damn it! The truth must come out, and these hypocrites joining this crowd, like that crowd that brought the adulterous woman to Jesus, the so many of these leaders are not pushing them back against these rebels, but are joining in. Shame on them. And shame on those who supposedly are of the Church of Jesus Christ that would join this cry of the world that they want one chant, justice now. Oh yeah, let's make a black Jesus. Let's make a yellow Jesus. Let's make void the Word of God. And I, for one, will not, as Paul says, give place by subjection. Will not, as Philip says, give those men an inch. That the good news of God might continue with you. I'm trying to encourage you, folks, this world is going to be rolled up like an old garment. It's going to be burned up. Those who are of the world would love his own. But Jesus said, ye are not of the world because I've chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. I'm not joining the crowd. I'm not joining the world. I hope you're not joining the crowd, nor giving place by subjection for an hour that the gospel might continue with you, and that the promise of the Spirit of God through faith might continue. And what is faith? It is nothing more than grabbing hold of the promises of God, because God spoke them and his word, which made it all, is more real than anything we might see, feel, or experience in this world. If you're in agreement with me, I want to hear from you. Don't let this message go unresponded to. And that's the God School for today.